You know, when I prepare a sermon, I want to be responsive to the Holy Spirit in my life and to the leading of God's Spirit, to His Word of God as my authority that I speak from. And today I'm going to talk from Psalm 92, and I want my sermon to be inspirational for you, but not inspirational in a secular sense, to be a really nice, touching thing that you can go home and say, "Oh, that was a nice sermon." I want it to be inspirational in that it would cause us to focus our lives on Jesus and to want to do great things for Jesus. You know, Billy Graham, I spoke on him a couple of weeks ago, shortly after he passed away, and, you know, he said that he knew that Jesus was coming back and coming back soon, and he says, "I hope he tarries long enough for me to do something great for him." And, you know, I never thought of it that way. I always just kind of wanted him to come back and fix everything. You know, perhaps maybe I'm lazy, who knows. But, you know, I understand that now. I think I understand that I want to do something great for Jesus. And I don't think I'm too old to do that. Thank you for the amen. So this morning I'm talking about Psalm 92, and I want to begin with an illustration of somebody who did something great for Jesus. Is Keith Green. If you put his photo up there, Keith Green was a big inspiration in my life when I first became a Christian in 1974. Was it that long ago? And, you know, I listened to every song Keith Green ever wrote. And tragically, he died in 1982 in a plane crash along with two of his children. He had four children with his wife, Melody. Two of them were at home. One of them was just a baby, and the other wasn't yet born. And Keith Green, when he was a child, was a remarkably talented little boy. He was playing the piano and singing from a very early age. And in fact, at one point in time, they were going to recruit him to become a teen idol. You know, this is in the 1970s, early 70s. But unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on how you look at it, Donny Osmond came along. How many of you guys remember who Donny Osmond is? Well, Donny Osmond was an incredibly talented, good-looking young boy who was a member of the Osmond family. And he became the next teen idol. So Keith Green kind of faded from the scene. But you know what? He got saved. Changed his life. And he began to do nothing except try to do great things for Jesus. And he started small. He and Melody started taking people into their home. Street people, homeless people. Bringing them in and ministering to them. At one point in time, they were living in Los Angeles, and they were taking care of 75 people. Not all in their home. They had actually rented the home next door and several other homes in the area. And they had 75 people living in their homes that they were ministering to. And they started, Last Day Ministries, LDM, Last Day Ministries. And then they you know, kept growing, and he was writing songs. They were becoming popular, and they bought a farm in Texas and moved there and were bringing people to the Lord. And he was going out and ministering the Gospels and getting other people to minister, to witness for Jesus. And so he was just on fire for God. And he wrote this song that had such an impact on me. And when I first heard the words, I thought he was singing scripture. And although scripture is written into it, but it was just such an incredibly beautiful song. It goes like this. It says, "O Lord, you're beautiful. Your face is all I see. For when your eyes are on this child, your grace abounds to me." And then the chorus goes, "I want to take your word and shine it all around, but first help me to just live it, Lord. And when I'm doing well, help me to never seek a crown, for my reward is giving glory to you. For my reward is giving glory to you, God." And the second verse goes like this, "O Lord, please light the fire." And that's my prayer this morning for me and for you. O Lord, please light the fire in our hearts that once burned bright and clean. Replace the lamp of my first love that burns with holy fear. And so that brings me to Psalm 92, because Psalm 92, I think, is about this. Psalm 92 begins, obviously, with verse 1. Verse 1 says, oh, by the way, the introduction to it is a psalm, a song for the Sabbath day. Verse 1 says, "It is good." It is good to give thanks to the Lord. And I think, you know, when David used the word good there, and I don't even know if it's a psalm of David, but when the writer said it is good, he used the word good that means good as opposed to bad, right? But I think there's a little in-depth meaning there that what he meant was for us to get about this goodness, why it was good, is because it's proper. It is proper to give thanks to the Lord. It is fitting to give thanks to the Lord. Why? Because of all the great things that God has done. Because God is good. It is a good thing to give thanks to the Lord. It is proper. It is fitting because of the praiseworthiness of God. It is a good thing. It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High. And that's what we did this morning. We sang praises to God. Verse 2 says this, "To declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness at night." That's the way we should do it every day, right? Declare God's loving kindness in the morning and his faithfulness by night. Then verse 3, I hope I put that in there. I had a memory lapse as to whether I have verse 3 in there or not. If it's not, I'll just read it to you. "With the 10-stringed lute and with the harp, with resounding music upon the lyre." We should praise God with musical instruments, and so we do. You know, I kind of feel bad for the, there's some churches don't believe in musical instruments because they're not mentioned in the New Testament. It doesn't say anything about musical instruments in the New Testament. What are we going to do? It's not there. We're going to praise God anyway, right? Amen. We're going to give Him glory and honor and praise. So where's the 10-stringed lute, Jaron? Do you have one?
We're working on that one.
With the harp. We don't have any harps. John plays the 6-stringed lute. And the 6-string harp. With resounding music upon the lyre and upon the bass guitar and upon the drums. Resounding music upon the drums. Hallelujah. Praise God with music. Sing praises to Him. Amen. Verse 4 says this, "For you, O Lord, have made me glad by what you have done. I will sing for joy at the works of your hand. For you, O Lord, have made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. He will rejoice, for He has made me glad. Oh, He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for He has made me glad. I will enter His courts with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter courts with morts with praise. I will say, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, for He has made me glad. He has made me glad. Oh, He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for He has made me glad, glad, glad. Oh, He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for He has made me glad." Praise God. Hallelujah. We should sing praises to God. "For you, O Lord, have made me glad. Glad by what you have done." That harkens back to verse 1. It is good to give thanks to God because it is right and proper because of what He has done. Verse 5 says, "How great are your works, O Lord! Your thoughts are very deep." Your thoughts are very deep. Paul echoes that in Romans 11. He says this, verse 33, he says, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and unfathomable His ways." God is deep. Dive in and enjoy. God is deep. Verses 6 through 15 say this: "The senseless man has no knowledge, nor does a stupid man understand this." I read that. I was always taught not to call somebody stupid. But in my life, I've also learned that, you know, I can have a tendency to be kind of stupid at times. And so I have to be careful. I don't want to call somebody stupid because I'm stupid sometimes. But in the King James, I actually like the King James version of this. It says, a brutish man has no knowledge, nor does a fool have understanding. And so not everybody understands the greatness of God. And we look out at the world and we see all the corruption and the pure stupidity. Yes, it is. It's stupid. The wisdom of men out there. It is stupid. And it's senseless. Look at verse 7. It says that when the wicked sprouted up like grass, and all who did iniquity flourished, it was only that they might be destroyed forevermore. And, you know, one of the things we have as we have Jesus Christ, we have His joy, the joy of the Lord is my strength. We have the empowering of the Spirit in our lives. But one of the reasons that we have that is to warn them that they're living a very dangerous life. That there is a destiny for them. And it says right there, it was only that they might be destroyed. There's destruction for people that reject God. And so, as we, this past few weeks, have we've been reaching out for Jesus Christ as a church, and in all my life, I do it because, not because I want to make the church bigger or make us stronger or this or that. We do it because it's dangerous out there. The Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die, and then what? Comes the judgment. And so we all will stand before God at some point in time. And if I ever when I find myself standing before God, I pray that I'll be covered by His blood from head to toe, and that not one spot of my sin would be visible to God. Otherwise, I would want to flee from His presence. And so, yeah, there are wicked people in this world, and there's wickedness out there. Verse 8 says, "But you, O Lord, are on high forever. For behold your enemies, O Lord. For behold your enemies will perish. All who do iniquity shall be scattered. But you, God, have exalted my horn like that of a wild ox. I have been anointed with fresh oil, and my eye has looked exultantly upon my foes." I know that through Christ Jesus, we are more than conquerors. We are more than conquerors. And that greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. And so, yeah, we can look upon our enemies and be exultant. But we ought not to be arrogant. And we should warn them about their impending disaster. Verse 12 says, "The righteous man will flourish like the palm of the tree, like the palm tree. The righteous man will flourish like the palm tree. He will grow like a cedar in Lebanon. All things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to His purpose." Aren't you glad you love God and called according to His purpose? Hallelujah. Verse 13, "Planted in the house of the Lord," the righteous are planted in the house of the Lord. "They will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still yield fruit in old age." Woohoo! Hallelujah! For those of you young people here today, you have no idea. I suggest you start bearing fruit now. Don't wait till you get old like me. "They will still yield fruit in old age, and they shall be full of sap and very green." Hallelujah. Why? to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He says, for in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So I want to inspire you today to get on fire for God, to bear fruit for him in your life, and to begin living your life in better than you did yesterday. I think it was Thursday night, my wife and I went and saw a movie. Thursday night, my wife and I went and saw a movie titled, I Can Only Imagine. Has anybody here seen that? Yeah. Would you recommend going and seeing that? I wholeheartedly recommend going and seeing the movie, I Can Only Imagine, and that's it on the screen. It's about, it's the story of Bart, the lead singer of Mercy Me, Bart Millard. And he wrote this song, I Can Only Imagine, not because it was a great worship song, but because of his experience in life. He grew up and he didn't have a very good father. In fact, he described his father as a monster. He was mean. He was angry. He viciously beat Bart growing up. And that was his image of God. God the Father. If God the Father is anything like that, I don't want it. But when he was young, somebody gave him an Amy Grant CD, some song, and he said, that I played that over and over and over again because it talked of a father in heaven that wasn't like his earthly father, that wasn't mean and vicious, but who loved him. And so I'm not going to tell you how the movie ends. I'm not going to tell you how the movie ends. Just know that the transforming power of God is out there. And that no matter who we meet in our life, whether the person is mean and vicious, whether they're a drunkard, whether they're a drug abuser, God can transform them if we only believe. God can transform people's lives. You can believe for your wayward children. You can believe for your lost friends. You can trust God. Believe for them. Pray for them. I want to read just the chorus of I Can Only Imagine, and then we'll close in prayer. It says, surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Or be able to speak at all. I can only imagine. Let's pray. Today is a new day. It's a day to dedicate and to rededicate ourselves to God's purpose in our lives. Hallelujah, Lord God. Praise you, Father God. Hallelujah. I just want to encourage you this morning to pray that God would use you and that you would put yourself at his disposal. That's what dedicating yourself to God means. You're submitting yourself each and every day to be used by God. Praise you, Father God. Father God, would you pray, you don't have to pray out loud. Would you pray this prayer? Father God, would you use me, God? Father God, I give my life to you. I open up my heart to your Holy Spirit, God. Would you use me? I give you my life, Father God. Use me each and every day. God, would you empower me by your Spirit? God, pour out your Spirit on me, God. I need your Spirit. I can't do this by myself. God, I need you. Oh, I need you. Hallelujah, Lord God. I need you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Oh, God, how I need you. Can we sing that? Praise you, Father God. Hallelujah.
Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you.
My one defense,
my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you.
Would you cry out to God and sing that again as your prayer?
Oh.